Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 265 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this weekend to discuss and review the Mexico City Grand Prix, of course, as the championship fight heats up. Jamie183, I think we were expecting this one to probably be fireworks, and it arguably went that way.
Yeah, it was alright, wasn't it? Mexico is not a track I get particularly excited for every year, because the design of the track and the altitude, which suppresses the slipstream effect, I don't think it generally tends itself to a brilliant race. I'm not saying it was a brilliant race this time, but it was decent. And, you know, what more can you ask for in ground effect era F1 than an entertaining, watchable race?
A solid we'll 6 it. Out of 10 race, which is what we get every week, yeah. It feels like, for the most part. I mean, what I would love to see is them run the old stadium section. I understand that they're very reluctant to do so. But they used to run the layout just around the back of the stadium, so a long, fast hairpin. But obviously there's no room for runoff is the problem.
I do think they need to change the obviously they won't, but when they were designing the track, they should have changed it to be some sort of overtaking opportunity into the stadium, because right now it's like the least likely place to have an overtake probably on the whole circuit.
Lap one, I think sometimes you see people try and chuck it down the inside into the hairpin, don't you? But yeah, it doesn't really kind of hand itself to it very well at all. Obviously, we did a preview show last week, Jamie. I'm pretty certain we briefly discussed Aston Martin in breach of the budget cap. But apparently two other teams have breached it as well. And now, we don't have any official confirmation of this. It's all just kind of rumour and conjecture. But Sky Italia were apparently reporting that it was Mercedes and McLaren. Now, unlike Aston Martin, which apparently was just like they submitted their paperwork wrong or something like that, apparently Mercedes and McLaren might have actually breached this in quite a big way. But, of course, we still don't really know.
Yeah, it's one to keep an eye on as we get into the winter, probably, isn't it? And it is interesting, and I would be very curious to see the British media's reaction, since it's not Red Bull this time.
Well, Red Bull is based in Britain.
I know, but Red Bull are like the pantomime villains of the British media, aren't they? Where they can have a go at Christian Horner and Max Verstappen, they'll do it.
Christian Horner's not even here anymore. You don't need your victim complex.
No, but I'm talking about the last time it happened, which was 2023, about 2022, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If it's two like upstanding teams that everyone likes the British media likes anyway, in McLaren and Mercedes, I'll be very curious to see how they react to that, since the golden children, Norris and Russell, drive for each of the respective teams. So we'll see if there's such uproar and, oh, they're such cheats, kick them out, disqualify them from the championship reaction as there was last time.
And if Sky Italia have got it wrong and it's Red Bull, what then are your thoughts?
It's good.
The Mavericks have done it again.
No harm, no foul.
God, deary me. There you go. There's definitely no bias on this podcast.
Not at all.
Heading into the weekend, though, I mean, pretty quickly, didn't it? It looked like Lando Norris seemed to have the edge on everybody throughout free practice, and then as we got into qualifying. And also, Carlos Sainz had a 5-place grid penalty. Which I believe was that for the incident with Antonelli, or was that just engine changes?
Oh no, it was his crash in Dakota, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When he took out Antonelli and obviously didn't get a service penalty there.
No, so he got converted to a 5-place grid drop. I thought so. But yeah, obviously heading straight into qualifying then, Jamie, Saturday night. I mean, it was a late qualifying session, wasn't it?
Mm.
I know last year or two fell asleep about 6 times during it, which was quite funny. But I managed to stay up and soldier on through. Q1, V-carb suddenly looked rapid. Isaac Hadjar ended the session fastest, which is absolute scenes.
And Lawson was third, wasn't he, in Q1?
Lawson was third or fourth, by the end of Q1 as well. Franco Colapinto decided he wanted to do the F1 eSports line through the first chicane, and just got airborne and ended up last, to the shock of nobody. And once again, Flavio Briatore, I was, of course, very happy with that. Bortoleto, Albon, Gasly, Stroll, and Franco Colapinto all out in Q1. I think the only real major surprise in that was obviously Alexander Albon. But then again, this track doesn't really suit the Williams, does it?
And he's not been doing great recently, Albon.
Seem to have taken a step back against Sainz, doesn't he? Sainz is going to accidentally fraud himself into decent kind of respect by the end of this year, despite the fact Albon has comfortably been better than him throughout most of the year.
Yeah, the recency bias will look fondly on Sainz as well, with those sprint podium and real podium as well. Mm. So Albon, I mean, is not, no threat of finishing any lower than 8th, where he is at the moment, or 9th, is he? He'd been, no, he is 8th.
Yeah, he's not in the top 10.
Oh, Tsunoda. Yeah. I was like, there's four big teams. How is he 8th? And then I remembered Yuki Tsunoda exists.
Well, he got absolutely screwed over this weekend. We'll talk about that a bit later.
He did.
But yeah, so obviously, like we said, both Leclerc, Albon, Gasly, Stroll, Colin Pinto, all out in Q1. I mean, it's typical, isn't it? Both Alpines, Lance Stroll, a Sauber, and then someone else out in Q1. I don't know how many times I feel like we talk about that this year. And obviously, with VCAR being so quick in Q1, Liam Lawson just decided he was going to invalidate his first lap with track limits and then set an absolutely terrible second timeout. So ended up last there in Q2 alongside, obviously, Tsunoda, Esteban Ocon. Both of those guys very unlucky to go out by the narrowest of margins. Nico Hülkenberg, of course, refusing to make it into Q3 in a real qualifying session. And then, obviously, Fernando Alonso also out in Q2.
What I want to know is what's the highest championship position for somebody who never made Q3 throughout the season? Because I'm sure 9th must be getting on for it if he does finish 9th.
But I would assume, like, back in the 80s and 90s, there would have been some teams. You know, like, this is obviously what people talk about with, like, Alain Prost, wasn't it? I know, obviously, he was still making Q3 most weeks.
Well, Q3 wasn't a thing back then.
No, but
qualifying in the top 10,
he would end up qualifying, like, a second off centre, but he would just purely have a race-ready setup rather than qualifying trim.
And a second off centre was usually about third on the grid.
It was normally still front row, to be honest. Yeah. So if someone's got that data, that would be very, very interesting. But yeah, by the time obviously we got into Q3, I think we were all expecting it to be the Lando Norris show. But Charles Leclerc, after the first runs, went to the top of the board. Now, between Q2 and Q3, I believe Lando had found a 10th, Max had found a 10th, Russell had found 2/10. Leclerc had found 3/4 of a second in his Ferrari. And suddenly we were all kind of there going, he can't actually do this, can he? And then he didn't, because Lando found another 4/10 on the
I was very much hoping he would actually do that, and it wasn't just complete fraudulence.
Would have been insane. Absolutely insane if he nailed it. But yeah, so Norris would end up on the pole, Charles Leclerc second ahead of Hamilton, first top three for him in a Ferrari in a proper race. George Russell also out qualifying Verstappen down in P5 because he's a fraud. Kimi Antonelli, Carlos Sainz in P7, but of course with his 5th place grid drop. Oscar Piastri, who was the real fraud this weekend, all the way down in 8th come the end of qualifying. And then Hajar and Behrman, who kind of just appeared in Q3, didn't they? But yeah, what on earth? I mean, we spoke about this pre-show. What is going on with Oscar Piastri right now, man?
Well, his form is just...
He's basically turned into
hugely.
2010 Mark Webber.
Yeah, effectively.
He needs to hire Seb as his, what's it called?
as his manager. Driver trainer.
For, like,
manager,
the final
mentor.
Few races, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Webber can get him, like...
back in.
Yeah, it's a big shit. Because he doesn't, like, we said it after Kota, he doesn't look like finishing on the podium at the moment. And when your teammate... spoilers, wins by 32 seconds, whatever it was, the least you can do is finish on the podium.
Yeah.
And realistically, he just doesn't look like doing it. The lap just didn't come together. He was, what, 8/10 off Norris in qualifying?
He was just under 6/10 in the end, but he brought that gap down. He was like 8/10 in Q1 and Q2.
And it was a 75-second lap time, roughly.
Yeah.
Like, that's
about a percent
insane.
Off.
Yeah. Like, which he just hasn't... You know, since his win in Zandvoort, and Norris is obviously DNF, he just hasn't even looked like troubling another win. And now it's kind of got to the point where it's not even on the podium. At least, like, you know, Monza probably could have finished second if McLaren didn't get involved. Singapore was unlucky to get barged off. But Kota and Mexico have been absolutely awful for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he really
needs to arrest the curve.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that thing as well, isn't it? Of course, he complained during Q1 that he'd had a random, like, loss of power or lack of power out of a couple of the corners. There were, get your tinfoil hats on.
He said later that was nothing, by the way.
Yeah, they literally then, there were fans around the circuit saying his car sounded different to Lando Norris's. It's kind of that thing of, yes, of course, championship pressure can get to you. But how can you go from, you know... seemingly a lot of the time slightly better than Norris to suddenly nowhere near him. You know, and he's kind of sometimes this points to there's been a bit of chassis damage that the team don't know about, you know, a crack in the chassis or something like that. You know, it just seems very odd and kind of, do you risk taking the grid penalty somewhere to obviously try and get a new chassis on and hoping that the pace suddenly comes back? Or, you know, is it just Oscar suddenly, you know, because he's never really been one that kind of the pressure gets to him too much. But of course, Formula 1 is a very different series. You know, Formula 3 obviously came under a lot of pressure in that season finale. Formula 2 is pressure with Zhou Guan Yu, which was basically nothing. So is it suddenly just the pressure and getting to him? Yeah. Or?
A Formula 1 title battle is pressure like nothing else in the sport. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Even the best drivers going for their first titles, if you look back, they all kind of make a mess of it towards the end, generally. Like Lewis Hamilton in Fiji was in 08.
Oh, Jamie.
What? Fuji.
Fuji. Fiji's its own separate country.
Fiji's its own country.
Yeah.
But even so, Hamilton and Massa in that race in Fuji.
Oh, you almost did it again!
They both just started driving horrendously. And you look at, obviously, Seb Vettel had plenty in the back end of 2010 where he just started messing about. Obviously, Max Verstappen dropped a bit of a stinker in the last four races of 21. So, yeah, even and I don't think Piastri personally is quite on the level of the likes of Hamilton and Verstappen. It could be around something like Vettel, we don't know. But even these top drivers.
Vettel has the same amount of championships as Max, by the way.
Do you think that will happen for the rest of the careers?
Wouldn't surprise me.
And, I mean, Verstappen is already better than Vettel, but that's another discussion. Piastri is clearly feeling the pressure to me. I don't buy into any sort of conspiracy. I think that's all rubbish. He just needs to stop crying and get back on the track, basically.
Fair enough.
To quote Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, that's such a great clip. Oh, man. I mean, so anyway, obviously, we get into the Grand Prix, though. Of course, Mexico, the longest run in towards Turn 1. And it was fireworks, wasn't it? Lando Norris, he did actually a very good job to control the start down into Turn 1. The Ferrari's a maximum 3 ride. Max on the outside there kind of refused to ever back out of it. Got on the outside curb, completely missed the breaking point.
He bottomed out. He didn't really have a choice. He
bottomed out a bit as well, but he could have, you know, lifted earlier. And then almost put himself in the wall on the exit of turn one.
It was way closer than I thought, actually, because on the replay, he was full opposite lock and was only, 2 meters from the outside wall?
It was not far out, yeah.
It was not. He wasn't really in control of his car sliding across the grass, was he?
No.
So, great car control, top driver, as always. Just about kept it going. But obviously would have to give the places back. Much like Charles Leclerc, who didn't bother with turn two either.
I cannot believe this. I watched this back to do the notes this morning, and I didn't think it was that bad live. But how on earth Charles Leclerc got away with this, I will never know. Because Lewis had fully completed the pass, Leclerc had plenty of room, and he just decided to cut turn two for fun and got away with it, basically. He let Lando back through, but he should have let Lewis back by.
Yeah. 100%. And no one even seemed to complain about it at the time, really.
I think you were watching so much going on at the start, but if you watch it back, it's insane that he gets away with this.
I guess the kind of concertina effect of Mexico's opening chicane, the safest place to be is on the grass on the outside, realistically, in terms of not getting hit. But then at the front, you're in the safest position, really. That kind of mess all seems to happen in the middle when people are falling over each other. But I can see exactly why Max Verstappen didn't bother lifting and
well, he was never going to get it slowed down, was he, in the end?
Well, no, but in terms of he could have lifted rather than going on the curbs, but he's never going to do that, especially when he's like qualified fifth and he's got a championship to fight for.
Well, if he'd lifted out and tucked back in behind Lewis, he'd probably have a strong argument that Leclerc would have to give him the place as well.
Yeah, that's all hindsight, isn't it? Like, try making that decision when you're going 200 miles an hour down towards turn one on the outside. No chance. No chance at all. But Charles Leclerc is a massive cheat. He should have given the place back to Lewis.
I mean, that is just utter insanity that he got away with that. Like, genuinely watching it back, I was speechless this morning. I was like, how on earth has he got away with this?
Yeah, 100%.
Utterly insane. And Kimi Antonelli decided to follow him.
if it was on anyone else but his teammates, I feel like...
Oh, we would have had probably, to give that back.
They probably would have noticed, but yeah. I think given it was a Ferrari on a Ferrari, they're like, whatever.
Well, they always seem to, they always have a lot more leniency when it's teammates, and obviously a lot more leniency when it's turn one. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. In Formula One terms, he pretty much got away with murder there. Like, from wheel-to-wheel racing. Like, it's utterly insane that he was basically fully behind Lewis, cut turn two, and was just allowed to keep it. Which was just wild. Later on lap one, though, I don't know, I still don't know how this happened, Jamie, but we kind of get this panning shot from turn seven looking back at turn six. Lance Stroll appears backwards, and even now I still don't know how.
Well, they never showed any replays from what I saw. I didn't watch the race live, unfortunately, but...
Didn't you? What were you up to?
No, I was at church. It was a late one. I caught the start on the radio.
Late Sunday night church? Exactly. Was it a rave or something?
No. No, we just went to the pub, so thought I'd hang out with my friends in real life rather than go and watch the F1 on my own.
Fair enough. But what you want to do is get yourself a partner that you can watch F1 with, even though she sometimes falls asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like a great idea. What were we saying? Lance Stroll just, yeah. I think I heard someone, one of the commentators, mention the word Colapinto, so I feel like they might have come together. So, but we didn't see it, so I've absolutely no idea. Regardless, it didn't have much bearing on the race, realistically, did it? So
not for very long, no.
No, and he got it going again, so whatever. Just Lance Stroll things, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. It would be a Lance Stroll weekend without a Q1 disappearance and randomly being backwards at some point. I mean, the race, obviously, I mean, it's always that thing, isn't it? It's kind of the first stint in Mexico can always be quite intense. And it didn't take long because... Welcome back, vintage Max Verstappen. Because as soon as he's trying to battle Lewis Hamilton, any shred of racecraft he has normally completely goes out the window. What was this dive bomb at turn one? No, it's completely fair. That dive bomb at turn one was stupid.
Well, he got it slowed down. He made the corner.
He barely made the corner with a car still on his outside.
Well, he did make the corner. The only issue with it was the slight wheel-to-wheel contact with Hamilton. But we've seen plenty worse than that this season without a penalty. So, yeah, I think it was ambitious. It was... I don't know if he'd have done it on someone else other than Lewis Hamilton.
Not a chance. Always when he's battling with Lewis, the red mist descends.
But whatever Verstappen did at turn one, Lewis just did the same in turn two.
Absolutely. Because, get your own back.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, fair enough, but... You can't complain about Verstappen's racecraft when Lewis did the exact same thing at turn two.
I can, and because then at turn four, Max did the same thing again.
Well, no, he was giving the place back. And then instead, because he was midway through giving Hamilton the place back, and then Hamilton decided not to bother with it and just drove off.
Because and Max then... never made the corner again.
That is quite funny. But Max obviously held the place by having to run across the inside of turn three, effectively, because Lewis didn't leave him any space. And then Max is giving the place back. He's lifting off gradually without trying to give the place back to Russell.
Well, he's basically trying to do what he did to Russell back in Spain, isn't he? Of giving the place back, but not really giving the place back.
Yeah, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that's still not allowed, is it?
No. You can't just be like half an inch behind and then immediately go for it.
Because that's the whole Belgium 08 situation, isn't it? Where we're gaining a lasting advantage.
I firmly believe it should be put in the rule that you have to be fully... But your front wing has to be behind their rear diffuser.
For a couple of corners, I would say.
For a couple of corners, for a couple of seconds. It's really... Yeah, because, I mean, Hamilton in 08 at Belgium, which I love the fact somehow we're now talking about this. the thing people forget about that was just how much better the McLaren was on dry tyres on a wet track than the Ferrari. It happened quite a few times that year already. But you can kind of understand.
Never in a million years does a McLaren overtake a Ferrari into turn one at Belgium. Even in the wet, kind of damp conditions, there's still no way Hamilton's making a move to turn one.
It's highly unlikely.
Unless he's kept a lasting advantage from giving the place back.
I think the thing is that he was probably going to get a run on Kimi anyway down that start finish because he was that much quicker than him at that point. You saw how much quicker he was around the rest of the lap before Kimi just decided to put himself in a wall anyway.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he would have made a move into turn one, put it that way. But anyway, we'll not talk about a race from 17 years ago.
Oh, that makes me feel so old.
And instead...
We'll talk a race from 17 hours ago. Not even that.
Max Verstappen, in turn four, he didn't keep the car on the track, but effectively, Verstappen should have been behind Hamilton, and he was very briefly behind Hamilton on the run to turn four. Hamilton then just obviously got low, such little grip, he just couldn't slow the car down.
Yeah.
Straight on.
Yeah.
And did he give the place back to anyone? I actually don't know. He got a penalty for this,
turn
didn't he?
Four? No, he was 2 seconds out of the road and he just was like, I'm just taking it, I'm just going.
So that is proper dumb. That is really stupid from Lewis Hamilton.
I think had he backed off and just kind of stayed ahead of Max, he might have got away with it.
No, I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
But it is, I mean, the problem is as well, of course, is that, so obviously he got penalised because he basically didn't rejoin the circuit in the appropriate manner. But that runoff area that you have to rejoin the track was basically a cycle path. I don't get
it. And it was so dusty.
It was so dusty. Basically, that runoff area, you had to be going slower than you normally would into that corner to make it work down that avenue, despite the fact it's where you go if you've taken too much speed into the corner. It was the dumbest runoff area and rejoining lane I've ever seen.
But he didn't get penalised for that. He got penalised for...
That's what he got penalised for. He got penalised for not using the correct lane to rejoin. That's technically what the FIA penalised him for, which was, just insane.
Lewis Hamilton, according to Formula1.com, Lewis Hamilton was handed a 10-second penalty for gaining a lasting advantage by leaving the track.
Yes, and not rejoining in the correct manner.
But it wasn't anything to do with the escape road. He probably got a warning for that.
No, because he got a warning for taking the place off Max. I promise you, that's what he got the penalty for.
There is
was
no
rejoining
way.
The track and not coming back on the correct the correct FIA instruction or whatever it's called. You know, you remember Sochi all those years ago with like the runoff at turn two.
Yeah,
that like Alonso used. Oh, the wily old fox, because he just made six places by not doing the corner.
I'm going to disagree with you. It was for cutting the track and gaining an advantage.
Yeah, because he didn't rejoin correctly. That's what they did, because they investigated the incident with him overtaking Max as well and got no penalty for it.
They investigated
two incidents from one corner.
I guess so, but a 10-second felt a little bit harsh, but it was definitely a penalty for me. If he'd have lifted and gained, maybe possibly give the
if
place
he
back.
Just,
or...
Yeah, right there, he might have got away with it, or got like a 5-second penalty. I think the big thing is with it, from my perspective, is of course, obviously, with what Max did at turn one and then turn four anyway, not making the corner, and what, obviously, Leclerc had done on lap one, the fact that only Lewis got a penalty in all of this, I just think is kind of wild.
I agree with Leclerc. I think he should get
here we go. You'd never guess who he's a fan of, would you?
But what did...
If Lewis had made turn four... And Max has still pushed him off because he was never actually really trying to give up the place properly.
Well, yeah,
it would have
definitely
been a Max pen.
But that didn't happen because Hamilton was just miles in the runoff area. So,
but it should be, again, as we always say, Jimmy, it shouldn't be the outcome of an incident. It should be the incident.
But there's no incident because Hamilton's 10 meters into
this
grass.
But Max didn't make the corner, Jamie. So Lewis is going to have nowhere to go anyway.
I know he didn't make the corner, but you can't say he forced off Hamilton, because Hamilton was 10 miles down the grass on the ferry. Like, he didn't force anyone off, did he? In fact, he went off the track and lost time because Behrman got through as well. So,
brilliant move by Ollie Behrman, can we just say.
It was,
absolutely fantastic.
But anyway,
again,
this isn't 2021, so we'll stop arguing about Hamilton versus Verstappen.
If the red mist descends when he's battling with Hamilton, it also definitely does with George Russell. And that's how Behrman got those two places.
Yeah.
Because
he was
again,
like, oh, Russell's here. Let me just force him off.
Russell off. Yeah.
And
then accidentally got past George as well.
Verstappen was always ahead of Russell, so fair play. You're not going to run outside of turn four, are you?
Turn five, yeah.
That's the one.
Just hilarious. And I mean, like I said, Behrman, absolutely brilliant there, waiting in the wings and just got both places in one go. And then Antonelli would jump George as well, which would become a huge problem a bit later on in the day. I mean, kind of after that, though, Jamie, after kind of lap six and all of this chaos, things finally started to calm down, didn't they? And the race did kind of turn into a more kind of normal Grand Prix. Obviously, we kind of all forgot that Oscar Piastri existed until lap 11, he finally jumped Yuki Tsunoda, but basically spent most of the race nowhere. Lap 15, Carlos Sainz would pit, and then find out that his speed limiter was broken, as it was basically throwing him down the pit
like
a fucking Bronco. Yep, so he had an electronics issue, that basically meant the car wasn't staying on the speed limiter. It kept kind of kicking him over it and then trying to drop him back down over and over. So obviously when you've got a faulty speed limiter in the pit lane, the best thing to do is obviously get a drive-through penalty, so you're going to come back in, still not have the limiter working, and obviously just the perpetual cycle continues.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny. But strategy then a bit later on did kind of throw a little bit of intrigue back into this race. Lewis would be the first kind of front runner to pit on lap 24, and obviously all of the other drivers would kind of pit in over the next few laps. George obviously still stuck behind Kimi just past half distance, as he had Oscar Piastri then right up his trumpet. He basically cooked his tyres and then kind of was at the team, you know, kind of, let me by. If I can't get Behrman up the road, then I'll let him back through. So it took him way too long to decide this, but they finally let George through just for then Kimi to stick on his gearbox anyway.
Yeah, and by which point, the three or four laps Russell did right behind Antonelli had cooked his tyres even more. Yep. So he didn't have the pace anymore to actually overtake Ollie Behrman, who was still
or
running
even get near
P3
him.
At that point.
Yep, still P3.
So, yeah, and it was complete mismanagement from Mercedes, because if you got the whole season to look at, George Russell has basically always been the faster driver in race trim this season than Kimi Antonelli. So, yeah, it was a weird one to not swap them straight away, especially as soon as Russell offers the swap hack if we don't pass.
Yeah.
Basically at that point on, well, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, it's normally a pretty kind of easy, unless Antonelli is actually taking time out of Behrman already, it's normally a pretty easy one to kind of call, isn't it? Lap 47, though, Max Verstappen, obviously, after being on the alternate strategy, which had kind of hampered him in the first stint. Bizarre, I think it's the first time ever the softs have been the tyre to have in Mexico. I feel like I've never seen this before in my life.
Yeah, but the soft was definitely the best tyre, wasn't it? It was weird.
Yeah, but he'd finally obviously jumped Lewis with a lot less drama this time round. And then immediately because of that, everybody decided to pit again, despite the fact that Pirelli, normally Pirelli's saying, oh, it's going to be a close one or a two-stop, lads, and it always ends up being a one-stop. This weekend, they were like, it's definitely a one-stop, and then half the field decided to two-stop.
Yeah, which was odd. I don't know. I get the feeling Max probably would have finished third anyway.
I think he might have got fourth, but I think he would have struggled to get past Oscar and the Mercedes very quickly, and he would have damaged his tyres in the process.
Possibly, yeah.
Because let's not forget, Behrman was still pulling away from the Mercs.
Yeah, because they were just busy squabbling, weren't they, really? Mm. But, yeah, it opened up perfectly. I mean, I was following on the timings app, and I saw Max in eighth, and I was like, oh, flipping it, the championship's done here. And then you open it up 5 minutes later, and everyone has pitted, so he's third.
Everyone's
like,
got
oh,
out of
sweet.
His way. Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, which I thought was very helpful. But, yeah, was a weird one. I think they maybe just were a bit scared, because Antonelli was obviously the first one to kind of
Well, Hamilton had already
react.
Box pit confirmed, so I think Ferrari were just like, we've got nothing to lose, because he wasn't really, he was kind of in no man's land, wasn't he, behind them. And then I think kind of Mercedes wanted to try and pit Antonelli in case Oscar pit, and then they both pit, and then Antonelli had a terrible pit stop anyway, so Oscar jumped him anyway, so it made no difference. They basically just shot Antonelli.
And then
the
Behrman and Russell, I guess they accepted they weren't going to beat Max. So we're just like, let's cover off the drivers we can beat.
Yeah.
And
I think
Hassel
already panicked and probably could have got away with not pitting at all. Because
I guess what you don't want to do.
Behrman's pace towards the end of the first stint looked pretty good. The Haas seemed to be one of the better ones on tyres.
What you don't want to do is leave Behrman out in, I guess it would have been third still.
Yeah.
And then he just drops like a stone at the end of the race, because then you're like, what if?
Yeah.
Whereas you know on a level playing field.
You're kind of thinking about having 12 points rather than 2 or something like that, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you're a Haas, because they are obviously still in the constructors' battle, and especially on a weekend where they, you know, Haas just looked very good, didn't they? As
they
well,
did. They did.
But yeah, so Oscar Piastri obviously would jump Antonelli in the pit lane then, and then on lap 60 he would jump George Russell. Which the funniest bit about this was obviously the fact that Antonelli saw Oscar jump George and was like, "Right, I want my spot back now, please, lads."
Yeah.
So Russell would pretty much rather begrudgingly give it back.
Going to your mum to say, like, "It's my turn on the Xbox, please."
Yeah, I want the controller now. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But then, I mean, we kind of had this slowly heating up battle, didn't we, of obviously Max taking time out of Charlotte, because the Ferrari probably shouldn't have one stopped, but Leclerc was obviously still trying to hang on to it. But luckily Carlos Sainz would come to his rescue right at the end of the day. A late race spin after what had been a pretty terrible afternoon for Carlos. And that would bring out the virtual safety car, which would pretty much end the race.
People are saying it's controversial. What do you think?
I can understand why people think it is, But by FIA ruling, it's technically not.
Because well, I agree with you.
Sykes got out of the car, and the car was still fully on the circuit. I can understand, because, well, actually, no, Lance Stroll was still running at this point, wasn't he? Anybody not called Lance Stroll wouldn't find this car. You could barely see this car, yeah. But there was a driver on a live racetrack. You have to call a VSC.
Exactly. And also, like, you never know how a car can find that bit of the track. Because
exactly.
You think,
if there is racetrack, a race car will find it at the
was
worst
it 23
possible time.
With Kevin Magnussen's suspension failure that just flung him into the wall at Mexico.
Yeah,
in like
a really odd
random
spot.
Place.
Yeah.
Like, imagine something like that happens again and they just tank into a car.
Yeah. It's Carlos Sainz gets squashed between his and Lance Stroll's car or something like that. You cannot.
Exactly.
The thing is, as well, is I can understand people going, oh, you could barely see Sainz's car. It ruined the end of the race. What would have ruined the end of the race is Carlos Sainz having his legs chopped off or something like that.
Yeah.
Which,
exactly.
Of course, is the most extreme scenario that could have happened. But you cannot run that
car
risk.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, these things do happen in motorsport occasionally. And, yeah, there's even if there's a 0.1% chance, you don't take the risk. Because at the end of the day, it's one lap off 71 that you're giving to a virtual safety car. It just happens to be the last one.
Yeah.
So,
and it wasn't even guaranteed that Verstappen was going to get Leclerc.
No, 100%, yeah. I think he would have had a go, but you never know.
Yeah, but Leclerc is also one that is more than happy to fight back against Max anyway. In fact, this might have saved Verstappen from a DNF on the last lap,
we
know.
We could have had Behrman and Piastri on the podium.
Exactly. That would have been great. I would have loved to have seen that. But yeah, I mean, we barely spoke about him all day. Lando Norris, winner, 30 seconds up the road. You know, absolutely what he needs at this stage of the season. Charles Leclerc would hang on for that P2 ahead of Max. Behrman, P4, absolutely fantastic drive ahead of Oscar, both Mercs, Hamilton, Ocon, and Bortoletto. I feel like I never saw him once all day.
No,
and just
appeared spawned in the points.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant drive as well.
He was always behind Hulkenberg this weekend, by the way, but Hulk had a DNF. So.
Hulk had a DNF, yeah, because he's
I'm not glazing Bortoletto for this.
Oh, I am. Absolutely brilliant drive. So Bortoletto now, 19 points, 19th in the championship. That is so horrendously cursed.
I wonder what the most points to finish 19th in the championship is. Probably must be that.
It's got to be up there, hasn't it? It's got to be right up there. It's probably when you're looking back at like the 80s or something, it was a season where 63 people competed. And
yeah, true.
32
yeah.
of them scored 14 points or something like that, isn't it?
But since F1 was normal, it's surely the most. Surely.
It's got to be right up there, doesn't it? And again, I think, you know, goes to show how well the budget cap is working. You know, because unless you're a Franco Colapinto.
Or Jack Doohan, to be fair.
Jack Doohan had a lot less chance. I firmly believe Doohan would have scored points by now if he'd been in that car since continued in
I don't
that
know.
Car.
I'm not sure.
I firmly believe he would have scored points by now. He should have scored points in Bahrain, if I remember correctly, shouldn't he?
He bottled it towards the end. The car was quick enough for points and he finished 12th.
No, he got absolutely shafted on strategy, I thought. That was what screwed him over right at the end.
He didn't. But that puts Haas above Sauber, which is disappointing. Sauber are on 60 points and then
9th.
That's mental.
That is utterly insane.
I still think they could beat Aston Martin, to be honest.
I would be hilarious if Aston finished 9th. I'm still saying Vicar, but only just in 6th.
Well, they're weird, aren't they?
They are.
I mean,
I think it's still obviously
having
two rookies.
All the midfield teams have been super inconsistent this season.
I don't even think they've been inconsistent. I think it's just obviously they've all been very good on certain weekends.
Yeah.
It's that whole thing of you get the setup right and you've suddenly got a chance and things like that. Especially, you know, like a sprint weekend where you've only got one session. It just means obviously simulator work is even more important than normal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's the big one.
But Behrman equals Haas's best ever result. Which is
he does. I so wanted Roman to see Grosjean. Him get podium. But I also don't like Haas anymore.
Why? They unfollowed you?
This is the weekend I find out they unfollowed me on Twitter. I don't know when, I don't know why.
No.
I'm not happy with Haas Formula 1 team. And I will never forgive them.
That is devastating. That is tragic.
That is awful. Our one link in Formula 1.
I've got more links than that, come on.
Have you? What, with what?
My dad's cousin works for McLaren. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He said he'd get me a tour of Woking one day, but I see him like once every 5 years, so
well, there you go,
that's
then.
A shame.
Fair enough. There we go. JB183. He's going to do a knowing wheel at Woking.
Live vlog from McLaren Technology Center. Brilliant. He's going to throw pins at the tires, ready for the next race.
I think Pirelli keep hold of those, sir.
Maybe.
What are we saying then, JB? Race rating. Come on, we got to smash all these out.
It wasn't great. It was alright. It was
the early laps. Well, I'm going to give it a solid 6. Could have been better. Could have been worse.
Yeah, 6 out of 10.
Which is 6 for a Mexico Grand Prix, I think, is genuinely high praise. I would argue this is probably one of the best Mexican Grand Prix we've had since it returned.
Probably. Yeah, it's up there.
Got to be up there. Yeah. Driver of the day?
Yeah. It's probably Lando Norris, but it's boring. I don't like him very much. So
I think to win a race by 30 seconds and not get driver of the day is harsh.
But Behrmann was good. So
shout out to Behrmann as well. Absolutely. Deserves a shout out. Antonelli, to be fair to him, I think obviously, you know, the fact he was on, I don't think this was a great Mercedes track in the end. And the fact that he was going to stay ahead of Russell throughout pretty much the entire race was pretty good going.
You don't get driver of the day finishing 6th and beating your teammate, though, do you?
No, you don't. But he deserves a shout out. I certainly don't think he should actually win driver of the day, but I think he deserves a shout out. And yeah, again, obviously, Leclerc and Verstappen both doing very well. But I think to give it to anybody other than Norris or Behrmann, I think would be a bit harsh. Do you want your quiz, JB183? It's a really simple one today.
Yes, I've not got long quiz. To go until my work starts, so no, let's be quick.
This is your real work. you've only got 6 answers for this one, but I'm going to do a simple, if you get one wrong, it's immediately over.
It's not the FP1 rookies, is it?
It's not the FP1 rookies this time, you'll be pleased to know, because that was the worst quiz ever. 6 drivers have shared the podium when Lando Norris has won a Formula 1 Grand Prix.
Oh, okay.
Can you name them?
Get one wrong, Leclerc, it's over.
Yeah, that's 2.
Piastri.
That's
3.
Yes, they've had many a 1-2 this year.
I was like, surely they've had a 1-2 when Norris was leading it. A GP, not a sprint. I guess
GP
is
not sprints.
Oh, he has won a sprint race, actually.
Who? Sorry, you cut out.
I didn't say a word.
No. Oh, I thought. I genuinely didn't hear what you said.
No, I actually didn't say anything. I just made a noise. Who? This is hard. I'm trying to go through his wins. I can't for the life of me remember who was 3rd in Miami last year.
Like I said, if you get one wrong, it is all over.
And then he won. He won Abu Dhabi. Oh, Carlos Sainz.
Correct.
Was 3rd in Abu Dhabi. Is that 4? Singapore last year. Verstappen was 2nd. Again, don't know a clue who was 3rd place. I'll say George Russell.
Correct. 5.
Okay.
One more.
Monaco. Who was 3rd in Monaco? Oh, that was Leclerc and Piastri, I think, actually. I've already said those two. Who are...
I'm going to have to stop pushing you for time here, Jamie.
No, I know. That's fine. Third place finishers, probably. It must just be like... this could be wrong. I'll go Lewis Hamilton. Like,
incorrect.
Last year. Oh. Who else was it?
You are... I love you as a friend. You are a complete moron. So I'm currently staring at Discord.
Yeah.
And obviously we've got R2 logos.
Yes. Oh dear me. I forgot he won Silverstone.
Go on, give me the 6th one, come on.
Nico Hülkenberg.
It is Nico Hülkenberg.
You know what? Because in my head I'm like, podium finishers, let's just go through the top teams. And
I thought Hülkenberg might count you out, and I was like, he's going to say Hamilton instead.
That is horrific.
That's hilarious. Oh, absolutely hilarious.
He shouldn't have won Silverstone anyway. That's
no, he shouldn't have, to be fair, but still. Predictions
that's
recap.
Funny.
I'm going to save you the embarrassment. I'm going to give you a win again.
Oh, yeah, I won. Great.
What were the scores on the doors coming into this weekend?
The scores were 62 to me and 48 to you.
Oh.
So it's 14 points in it.
Yeah.
And I believe I've done very well again.
Yeah.
So
Can so I just preface this with stating that I deliberately have tried to jinx Max Verstappen towards the end of this year? Hence why I put him on pole. It did. So I'm going to keep doing it if I need to. I will sacrifice this for that. Yep.
Matt had Verstappen on pole.
Yep.
0 points.
Yep.
Verstappen win, which is 1 point.
Yep.
Norris second, which is 1 point.
Yep.
And Piastri third, which is
2 points.
0 points. So 2 points overall. I said Lando Norris on pole, 2 points. Lando Norris win, 2 points. Max Verstappen in second, 1 point. And Charles Leclerc in third, which is another point.
That is very
so
good going.
Six. So very if there was no virtual safety car, I could have got 8 out of 8 there.
You could have had a perfect score, which has only happened a handful of times on this show.
Exactly. But I got 6, which takes me to 68. And you got 2, which takes you to 50.
I'm going to need a bit of a miracle in these last few.
I think it's getting towards impossibility, isn't it?
No, there's still quite a lot of points available. I'm pretty certain, obviously, if we stayed level across these next 2 weekends, it would then be... I'd have to get everything bang on and you'd have to get nothing throughout Qatar and Abu Dhabi.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as the gap is 18 points or less heading to Qatar, I've still got a mathematical shot. Because I win this on countback because I said so.
Brilliant.
have we got anything else to add, Jamie? I think we've smashed through everything we wanted to, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've done well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, apart from looking like an absolute moron again during your quiz, I gave you an easy one this week. That's hilarious.
You did. But how am I meant to think of Hulkenberg when you're thinking podium finishes?
Because it's your happiest moment ever.
Yeah, I didn't think he was... It's not come into my head properly yet that he actually happened. So.
Yeah, I know. It'll take years to believe.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for watching them nonetheless. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like, get yourself subscribed, drop us a sub, drop us a follow, all that good stuff over on Apple and Spotify and here on YouTube and everywhere else. And Jamie and I will return, I guess, next week, probably. Obviously, we've got a break week now, which feels weird to say, because obviously it's Brazil up next. We'll see you there. Well, we won't be there, but you know what I mean.